listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
So, are we in? Testing. So,
we can hear you loud and clearly.
Yeah, so I wouldn't really know where to start because literally I jumped in as you were discussing love. And it's just something I've been considering. Is love in the whole scheme of things of what we know kind of goes on within sort of cultural manipulation and culture creation and all of these things. We have love as one of the prevalent themes throughout mainstream music, cinema, and it's kind of how the perception of love. And I understand the basic level of it manipulates your mind to think love is this romantic, fuzzy thing. Well, that's not relevant. It's the basic thing of what love actually is, and this word love, and why it's become so prevalent as a thing in our culture, and how long has that existed? I mean, was love as a basic thing within relationships and life in general a prevalent thing? Anywhere up to 200 years ago, was marriage down to love, to do with this idea of you fall in love and you get married, or was marriage more of a...
It was the equivalent of gay marriage, wasn't it? The quantified love.
That's what
to put
I mean.
Into a single word.
Which is this fuzzy idea of love. How long has that been a major part of our culture, a part of human... human existence, to love, is that a very, like you say, there are 18 terms for it. So love, I believe, exists. I'm not a cold person who doesn't feel what I feel is love. I feel love for my partner, and all these things, but it's my general idea.
We love hamburgers and stuff too, right? Love is synonymous with anything you're fond of. Like, that's kind of the limitation that we have to deal with. Like, I love Snickers bars.
Me too.
I love my kids. Like, it's
that's what I mean. But love as in that romantic love, as in you love your partner. Like, I know love is a very vague term, but this thing of what we call love, as in romantic love, as in a man for a woman falls in love. It's.
I know, but it's only exactly the same as saying schooling. Someone says schooling, and literally you think of about 8 years, 8 or 9 years of your life, and it's exactly the same. Love, you think of the first 3 or 4 relationships, and you sort of try and encapsulate what you felt there. The one thing I wanted to add, though, about language, before you go any further with love, is that this is in reference to John Le Bon the other day, is the British language. Remember, we had borders on either side, surrounded by water. We were being... everything we got was either from abroad or it was grown homegrown, and there was lots of transportation at the time, so the ease of the English language being disseminated like literally by a fashion, the words that were easier, makes more sense. I don't think the English language could have been sculpted in a place that was as big as Australia or a place that was as big as America. Does everyone understand what I mean there?
Yeah.
It was very small. I mean, we're 200 miles wide at best.
Perhaps. It depends, because the language can be brought... I mean, if the language works for 200, it should work for 2 million, if you know what I mean. If a language is cleverly constructed...
And it was just clever enough to work on the exit strategy as well, so almost like a computer program. We sort of assimilated Spanish, French, Dutch... it was almost like a computer program. We were able to, rebound back, and that's where it comes from. So it's almost, it's very similar to fashion. It's the only way I can describe it. But anyway, that's the answer to what John was saying there.
Yeah, but I don't want to harp on the love thing anyway too much. It was only a thought, just because literally I hopped in as you were chatting about love. But it's just something that's popped into my head because you do hear love pushed a lot in the subtlety. You know, when you sort of you read the sort of double speak and things like this, and you do often hear. I can't remember. There's a big one about 9/11. I think it was Hulk Hogan, wasn't it? It was all about the love, man, or something like this.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's lots of little, you know, it's all about the love. Or the
I tell you, brother, when the Twin Towers will turn on the Twin Towers and the Blue Towers. And
they go on about, it's about, like, the 21st century, it's about the love, man. Like, there's a love angle to it. I can't quite get what it is yet. You know what I mean? But
no, you know what I is. It's the understanding that comes with camaraderie.
Well, we've got to exactly get what it is. You've got it spot on. Things. I don't know what it is.
This is what I'm saying. It's the vomitorium. It's the stage that comes down from the middle of the stage into the audience. So you break the fourth wall. It's the touching the blending of technology. And that's exactly what it is, and it's been so obviously advertised that now I mean we even had the Matrix. You know, it doesn't have to go any further than that. They just told you this is the next level of entertainment. That's all it was. 2001 Space Odyssey. Me and John were laughing the other day. The first thing you see is a fucking square block. Been around the block, you're a mason, you know, and they're directing the monkeys. And then all of a sudden we're getting Matrix Neo, the one. It's not rocket surgery, is it, man? But at the end of the day, people believe it. Why? Because it is the narrative. Imagine you didn't have to believe the narrative. What are you going to believe? You know, literally, it's like restarting the game over and over again. Where can I start? What can I do? I mean, I love telling people JFK is bollocks, but, you know, I don't want to upset people.
So this is part of the narrative. The language changes with the word. I don't know if that's a fair bridge, so forgive me.
The language is set in stone now. The language is set in stone. There's no way in every change.
Language is going to never set in stone. Emojis. You know this.
Eventually, yeah. And what do they call them? They call them ideograms. Ideograms.
That's a huge.
Funny how they name them first, isn't it? Ideograms before you actually work out you're an idiot to read them.
It's
John Dee that said English was to be the international language of the future?
I reckon so. And also the space language a few people have mentioned.
But if you think about it, all the pilots have to know English and all that nowadays, you know what I mean?
Yeah, everything has to be reported in English because it goes straight to the head office. It goes straight to head office, so you better speak fucking English, lad.
Yeah, it's when you get into the legal stuff as well. Like, if you look at all, you know, when you go down that legal line, you see how cleverly, I can't think of the term, but how clever the English language is in, what do you call it? You can confuse one word for the other. Is it homonyms? So one word will mean several things, and the English language is massive on that. You know, one word can mean a lot of things. When you take that into the legal realm, it gets very complicated and very clever. So I think English have been definitely constructed for their legal realm that they use. English is just the perfect language for that because, you know.
Well, you see, it's majority rules as well. So if you've got the people on the West Coast agreeing with the import legislation of the people on the East Coast, and then you've got the City of London, and then you've got France agreeing. But, you know, it wasn't an entire area which was run by the maritime law. So it only makes sense to sort of install a language which you can all use. So it must have been perfected. Obviously, people talk about Shakespeare being a shill. Obviously, it was. But it must have been perfected where they decided, right, we've got this intricate amount of words. We need to install them or incorporate them into society. We're going to use Shakespeare just as a leverage. All right, it's a bit hoaxy. but hey, you know, it might work, and it did.
Yeah.
I dropped out. How did you guys get up to law legal words?
Not quite sure.
But then that moved on to Shakespeare.
Just come out of nowhere.
The English language as a whole, you know, the construction of language. You
know, well, like the legal words. Legal words are by far, by and large, not needed English words. They're long words, like,
you know, the Latin and all of this. But Latin, English is
Via French. They're French. They're Latin, French derivatives.
And like
Latin and French.
Latin, French. I mean, they come from all sorts of places, but that's what English is, isn't it? That's why it's interesting, because it is.
Would you like to know what my favourite legal term is? Getting off scot-free. Scottish freeman.
But, okay, so the English that we speak is...
Scottish Freemason gets off scot-free.
Yeah.
You get off scot-free.
I've not thought of it. It's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Brilliant. Love him, man.
Yeah. Says it all.
But you know, this was the whole entire language, and this is it. That this was incorporated to involve a certain level of people. Now, I'm not going to cry. I tell you now, a Mason from 200 years ago. But you know, from nowadays, I can't see joining a gang. It's literally the same thing. Joining a drinking club of gents who, without them knowing it, are actually, you know, they're supporting something which we all know now is pretty much abhorrent.
A boys' club with a lot of power.
And just the weight of joining them, actually, you know.
There was
something crackers about these Masons, we'll be honest. I've never got along with them anyway. Mind you, I'm all weirdo.
Yeah. It's crackers. And then you wonder about how natural that is, because you imagine that's kind of something that could happen in any... will be, but you look at human nature and you can think, well, any boys club where you help your mates out and blah blah blah, if that's combined with a great deal of power, that's the natural result, you know.
But it all depends as well, because if you depends on how you look at things. I mean, you can go to a school of 300 people, become real good friends with, say, 30 of them people, and look at it like them 30 people that have found in that school are the perfect friends. Or you can just look at it as if to say, no, they're just the ones that I got on with through certain situations in different parts of the time, and over the 5-year period end up being friends. It's this camaraderie and this brotherhoodship to do with the Masons. And I've seen it all the way through me growing up. It was always put in front of a TV with it. Do you remember the road movies? Like Bing Crosby and I forgot his name. Anyway, the 50s American road movies.
I don't remember that far, but I do know what you mean, yeah.
Well, that's it, yeah, they were repeats on telly. But they always had this air of, like, they're both chasing a girl, they might be musicians on the road, but they have this element of being brothers. They can never escape each other, they're not allowed to leave each other. And then we get the same thing in, what's it called? The Man Who Would Be King. So we've been brought up with this comradeship and away from, you know, your family, from your mother, your father, towards someone who you have a common interest with, or a common, you know, hero. It's very subtle, but it works, man. It really does. See it in all the punk films of the early 80s.
They
always have friends, you know, they always rebel.
The family don't get them and all of this. There's a massive agenda towards that, yeah. I mean, that's been, like you say, that's been going on for at least 50, 60 years, hasn't it? But then that's the kind of thing John and Chris go into quite a bit, isn't it? The breakup of the family, and like Jan Irvin, the breakup of the family and all that. That's a massive agenda. But yeah, the brotherhood thing, that's a more subtle, I think. Yes. That's probably not necessarily an agenda on the people. That's the nod and...
And it's easy on the eye. You also get it with the good cop you know, good cop, bad cop.
In what way?
Well, you know, two policemen who, you know, it's, you know, I've got a new partner, don't get along with him. And now all of a sudden, you know, they become friends because they've got common interests. A bind for every kind.
Yeah.
You'll see, man. Everybody's going to get this niche. We're all going to get interactive. Everyone is going to be able to do what they want. For instance, I found myself watching a Star Wars film and enjoying it. What's going on? Things are getting crazy.
But you enjoyed a Star Wars film.
Rogue One is brilliant. It's the best ensemble piece I've seen in years. I put it there with Leon.
Napoleon, did you have any examples of what you were talking about with Shakespeare being used for advancing the language in any... was it related to legal stuff, or was it other things?
In a Pickle is a funny one. Apparently, you come up with that In a Pickle, which apparently was being used years before. So it's been associated or you know, attributed to him, and it wasn't. No, you've only got to look at Shakespeare and you work out that it's not real, really. You know, a lot of them are old. I think they're old. Venusian romantic stories that were translated from Latin, about 13 or 14 of them. I think he wrote like 27 sonnets or something. So I'm not even sure. But no, it was to ingratiate the upper class with the lower class with stories. And then what you could do is by having these stories on at local theatres, you could quite easily invite the upper dignitary of the working class and the lower dignitary of the, you know, the upper class, and just intermingle. Just like what YouTubers, you know, when you think you're actually interacting with, and what's his name, PewDiePie, you know, no, PewDiePie's not real.
So Shakespeare was a man of the people, that's what you're saying. He was a screenwriter.
No, Shakespeare wasn't really, couldn't even write, mate.
Well, the character, I mean.
Well, yeah, but the character was probably voiced by about five or six different people. I mean, there's a lot of people saying it was Bacon, you know. And then there's a few people saying it.
John even said that Francis Bacon was himself another front man.
Well, exactly. It's the name behind the name behind the name.
Yeah, I mean, you look today at the modern, you know, the talking heads. Now, how many of them do you genuinely believe, you know, they are putting out?
Exactly. How many comedic writers are there out?
You know, that's almost the same method as before. You know, you come up with the plan or the agenda and you put the front man out and, you know, simple method. So there's no reason whatsoever why that wouldn't have been the exact same case then, whenever then was.
Yeah.
It's an easy method, isn't it? You know, you just put the front man out, you know, you put it's like this Tesla thing, you know, there's been, which I think will come out, because Tesla, it's kind of becoming more obvious, that's more or less bullshit. I think it's been used back then as a cover for now, when these new technologies do come around. I don't know, it can be attributed to this character, this Tesla. You know, I haven't looked a great deal into the Tesla thing, but I think it's becoming more and more evident that whole story on Tesla is bullshit.
No, you're exactly right. It's like the way they attach yoga to like a religious aspect. Even though I know yoga probably not 80 year old. I still know that it is healthy. But they attributed to that, and not only that makes us even go, well, why they attributed it to that? You know, it casts an air of aspersions.
Yeah, like you say, it's still healthy. Yeah. It is a good thing. I mean, I've done it, and I fucking love it. Like, I can... Then they take something good and twist it and manipulate. That's the thing. Same with music. It's not to say all of the music, you know, there's good music. Most of it, you know, a lot of it was created, was brought out by these culture creators. It's not to say it wasn't good music. To listen to. Same with yoga. It's a good practice. It's great. Mm. But then it takes, there's the other direction. You know, once it grips people, it will take them where it wants to take them. And I think it's people like us who are more this way inclined that can take the benefits from these things and still, you know, look at it in a level-headed way, not be totally gripped by it. Not to say that I haven't been in the past, but now, you know. And that's the problem with these things. Like I say, I mean, the music, although it's there for negative reasons, you know, there's a quality to it, isn't there? You know,
oh my God! Yeah.
Someone like Hendrix, you know, we'll say for all intents and purposes, probably I don't know, the majority of people in here would accept that Hendrix was most likely an agent throughout his whole career.
Nevertheless, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't affect the art to me in a strange way, or it does, but I can still appreciate it.
No, well, it's like Delcroix. Delcroix loves U2. And he's followed U2 and he's followed how the band's evolved. And over the past few years, he's gone, well, I'm questioning this, I'm questioning that. It's not questioning the talent. It's not questioning that at all. You know what I mean? It's questioning the motives behind the videos, different than the other. Which, obviously, once you've seen U2, you can understand why people would question anything like that. But nevertheless, he still knows. He's saying now, well, basically, that made him pick up a guitar, play for loads of people on here, who, you know, we listen to, mimic tunes. He's wrote his own tunes. You know, it's a number of things. It's also made him be able to interact with people who have seen him talk to people and they don't know anything but they know music. So it's a tool. And it is a tool of communication. It's no more and no less. It's like anything. It's like language. And we listen to Oxbusters and we hear how John and Chris chat. It's a wonderful slice of someone's brain. And every now and again, people get it on air and we all interact. And that's what's cool about it. Same with music. Something pushing it. The artist at the time, as they're doing it, gets this feeling like we've heard and people always make it sound satanic, but they do. They get possessed. There's no way of putting it. They get possessed.
It's one of the muses, no. Isn't it?
Yes, and that's the muse, and that's
where it comes from. That's where the original poets, you know, they were renowned for becoming possessed, weren't they? When they would perform their poetry, it would be as if they were possessed. You know, so talking like, you know, back in your, I don't know, 2,000 years ago. You know, back ancient sort of times. That was a common thing for the poet. They'd be possessed by the muse and the music comes out of them. And that's kind of a thing with music, isn't it? Because that's where if you make music, that's where it does tend to come from. Anyone that makes music and can sort of fathom good music in their head will tell you, like, I, you know, and it's kind of, it doesn't feel like it comes from you. There's a peculiar thing about music where when you get it and you're really on it, it feels like it's coming from somewhere else. And that's where all of that occult kind of side stems from, I suppose. Let's say with these muses, I suppose that's where they stem from. And I don't know how many fucking levels into that I try, you know, I don't look into it much, but I do know full well when I come up with good music, there's a part of me that knows. Either that comes from my deep subconscious, which I, you know, sort of for interpretation, seeing as muse or whatever, is just subconscious pickup. It does not feel like I am creating it. It feels like it's coming from somewhere and I'm interpreting.
And still connected to your other experiences, right?
Totally. That's where the subconscious thing comes out, because I think, well, if you actually conglomerate the amount of sounds and music and all of those things you've heard throughout an entire lifetime, when you're creating music, when you get in the zone, that's where that may be coming from. It's just literally the subconscious you're able to come. Tap that subconscious and you combine.
I'm not a huge fan of this idea of a subconscious. I mean, I realize that many brain phenomena happen underneath what's going on or in, like, without needing to be addressed in your you don't need to focus on it, but like, you can really feel, you know, deep into your soul where the music is. I think that's what I would say. How do you, like, why would you call it subconscious, per se, about the music, where it's coming from?
No, I only use that as a descriptive term for the what we would commonly call the subconscious. Like, I don't completely subscribe to that.
Yeah, agreed terminology is a bitch, because you have to agree on what they call it. I'll agree with you there, man.
Yeah, you know, that could come from anywhere. I'm just calling it the subconscious because that's what we think of. You know, that place where those things come from, they're stored somewhere. There's something that's like a big hard drive
It's funny the way they put layers on their brain. This is this part of their brain. This is this part of the brain. And they're all layers. It's like, well, you can't penetrate that. And then you get the chakras. You know, it's all this way. It's like Dungeons and Dragons, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. But. Yeah.
Like, you're talking about, like, a metaphor of the mind as a dungeon of many rooms, of many...
They've incorporated the same thing. I can't remember who it was, but incorporated into the conspiracy theory. And it talks about different levels of having moats and trapdoors and stuff like that. And then people fall into these traps, and they tell you now, your worst time, when you're most fearful and you don't know what's going on, you turn to religion. You're telling me that isn't a cult. At your worst time, that's like turning into a bailiff or a loan shark in times when you're in debt. It literally is, but what you're paying there is it's not in pounds or pence or dollars or whatever it is. You're paying something there. You're paying your religion to be part of society. Well, this is where religion comes from. You see, the people who do religion don't gain from actually doing it. The priest doesn't gain from telling you lies. They get the free living and all that. But what I mean is the gain doesn't pay off how much you spend, should I say?
I mean the
it does. But what I mean is there. Think about how many big churches there are. Think about there's church in every corner. Right? You don't see people flooding in and out. It's still there.
Yeah, I know.
That's all I'm saying there. The fact that it's there, because people can turn around at wit's end. You're at wit's end, boom, in there. It will they'll tell an awful lot of people end up in a church,
But then the same thing as, people at their wit's end or people in low times, then you've got the modern church.
Yeah. And they will knock on for you.
So what other zones or experiences would you have in this dungeon that you were either describing of the conspiracy world or the mind itself?
No, the dungeon equates to falling down something where you're not allowed to move anymore. It's not actually a real room.
It's like the castle.
It's any atrocities.
Labyrinth is a commonly used metaphor, isn't it, for this kind of...
Perfect. Because once you fall down, there's no way to get back to where you were unless you go back.
Are there any labyrinths you have?
Sorry, no one said it. Ian and Ab, he's been sat there listening for about 4.5 minutes now. Hey, mate, you all right? And he's always there, he's always listening.
What kind of labyrinths have you guys been in?
I've only ever been in an oubliette, and it was wonderful.
Can you link a picture?
I remember a good labyrinth in Bath. That was good.
I think that's where I went in an oubliette.
Can you guys link to these? I want to see them. I've never been in one. I've seen them on movies and such, but never actually been in any.
Well, they were built more for terror. The people they put down were usually like wives of the kings. And it was all done for effect. None of the history that you get from Britain is really real. You got to understand that. Nothing we've been told for the past 200 years has been real.
Your connection's a little bit wonky.
That's my voice. I'm going to be in here.
I think it's a connection. But, okay, so they're mainly an English or European type thing. So that'd be interesting to see if there are even ones that are from other places.
There'll be labyrinths everywhere. They're predominant in just so many, even religions. I think there's an arm of the Christian church, modern arm of the Christian church, that use the labyrinth as their main symbol. And in every church, they have a labyrinth. I can't remember what the church is. It's so common. Labyrinth, I mean, you just got to look it up. You'll find labyrinths everywhere.
Yeah, I've looked on Wikipedia under the category of labyrinths, but the categories aren't always well applied, so I couldn't really find, I don't just mean like any any ones, but ones that are of note, like that you were in, or that are in the movies, or stuff like that. Something that'll hit some nerve, because I can associate with you.
It's probably just the world as a whole, man. I mean, I think you're probably living in one. You know, like I said, one of the most common uses of a labyrinth is to represent the world we live in. You know, that's you're picking me at a bad time because it's late on a Friday night. But there's a particular god that is to do with a creator god, and the world was created as a labyrinth, and all of this business. I can't fucking go into it.
And then the Minotaur is at the center.
Yeah, I can't remember, to be honest, but I know it is a bit, I mean, yeah, it is a bit of a labyrinth, isn't it, this world we live in, so you could look at it that way. You're currently in one.
Well, you don't know that. It's a metaphor. I might have gotten out, right?
Yeah. Perhaps. I don't know. How does it look out there?
Fair. Don't start going off fucking solipsism on us. It's not a metaphor, mate. It's real. Go and get a knife, put it in your hand, you bleed, right? People say something daft to you, you react, right? It's not a fucking virtual reality, man. And it's not an easy way. We need to communicate with each other instead of just fucking stepping back and going, oh, what have you done? It's not the Matrix, man. None of us know Kung Fu. Let's just fucking get stuck in and learn. Might as well. Start analysing shit. You're going to be as bad as JLB, man.
See the last
one? Don't worry. Sorry, that was me.
Okay, no problem. No problem. No, I don't know. I mean, it'd be hard if you're in a labyrinth when somebody who got out would try to tell it to you what it's like outside. How would they even be able to penetrate the walls of each layer to tell it to you? Like, you wouldn't have much reference. You'd say, oh, is it like this bushy wall, or oh, is it like this concrete wall, or is it like that, you know, thing that I've only seen before that looks like that, but have no reference to the outside of it?
Well, it's to do with your own interpretation, I'd probably say. You're like, you're an individual, aren't you? So you can, that's the point of being here. You're here, like Napoleon said, you're here to learn. That's what this place is, for whatever reason you're here. It's a big learning, you know, you're here to figure something out for yourself. So no matter what anyone else explains to you, no matter how they describe it, it's only going to help you, even in a small way or a big way. No one's ever going to explain something to you, and that's going to just completely click, and that's going to solve it for you, and all of a sudden you know exactly what the fuck's going on. You know, it's down to you.
Definitely, man, what's the word? An abstraction helps if you're telling a story. So if you're telling a story about yourself being in a situation, you know, being abstract from that situation and telling a story, that helps perfectly. But if you start treating life like that instead of literally grabbing it by the bollocks and just it's almost like there's a layer of trust as well. You need to put faith in, you know, in stepping forward and asking a question. If you constantly step back, it does seem like you do get a dealt an easy hand, so to speak.
Yeah, well, you don't progress so much.
Yeah,
like progression.
Yeah, progress.
A funny way of giving to those that go out there and go to get, you know, I can't think, it's like the Bruce Lee thing, isn't it? What is it? Flowing water never goes stale. You know, that kind of Zen type, whatever it is, that when there is a funny thing to this place, but you go out there and try and get something for some reason or another, you know, you tend to be able to get it if you put enough energy towards going and getting
it. Yeah, definitely. Not only that, actually contributing to the current narrative at the time. If it's a productive, you know, contribution, it actually rubs off because it resonates.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for instance, let's just take a hero. You know, someone you like, someone you've, for some reason you've always thought, yes, I like that person. Have you got a hero?
I probably could, but I'm not offhand. I'll come up with one.
Maybe a novelist.
Eh?
Maybe a novelist.
novelist.
Yeah, it's someone who's wrote a nice science fiction story, or someone who's wrote something that you know, really stuck with you. Could be Groucho Marx. Could be anyone.
Anthony, yeah, the last one I read was good. Anthony Burgess. Go in. All right. Let's chuck his
right, name. There you go. So, a well-known novelist up there. He didn't write Portnoy's Complaint, did he? But did he write?
No, he wrote a lot. He wrote Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Do you know why?
He wrote the one I read. I've actually forgotten the name of. John Adams recommended it, and I gave it a read, and it's so good. I'll remember the name, but yeah, carry on.
Oh, is that the one about stopping people from getting pregnant?
Yeah, it's about the one. The future where gay is the new norm, and if you've got more than two kids, you're not going to get a promotion. There's a big disaster. They start eating people. It's more civilized if you eat people out of a can. You know, that one. It's hilarious.
Almost like Popeye.
I've forgotten the bloody name of it, but it is a very good book and a very sort of good satire on where civilization's headed. But yeah, carry on with your point. Sorry.
Basically, I was going to say this. So we now, even though you don't really know that person, you know, you attach a lot of not beliefs, because you don't seem like a person who's going to attach beliefs. But what you do is that you use it as a bar, a bar for the level of intellectual. You know, well, put it one way, you're not going to have a novelist who's going out headbutting paparazzi. Unless you heard, so there's a level there. There's a level in most art, you know, whether it's classical art, paintings. You don't really get too many people who are into classical, like, let's just say for argument's sake, like Russian, music, who are into, comics. You know, or maybe you do know, I don't know, but you know, there's a lot of things they're saying to it. So all I'm going to say there is the way we've been fed now, without knowing it, the shackles are there for each people in a certain amount of society, and everything's been such finely tuned that the things that take up the more amount of time and money are attributed to the people who are earning more. There's nobody worse or better off. That's what I'm trying to get into here, because I know you're being really pretty philosophical, And we're not really worse or better off unless we've been abused or a starving child in Africa. There's not much difference.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's all I'm thinking of. And they know that because the level of control is being tested and finely tuned.
So when do you see then, Napoleon? Here's one for you. So we've got the current model. So we've got... hang on.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
So, with the current model of society as a whole, right? So, we've got the money structure. Let's go to the two main ones. We've got the financial structure, so the banks, cash, money, that thing. And we've got politics. I would put it to you that I think within around the next 10 years, we're going to see those two things phased out. Like, we will see PayPal, digital money, and all of that kind of side take over the banks and the currency change, and we'll also see the political system take a massive shift. Do you kind of see that happening? See that being directed? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sort of seems that's the way they're going. They've been for a long time. I think the thing with the banks, like why the banks are arse, and there's all this negative thing about the banks after the previous recession, is all building towards this general disdain for the banks, because I think they're on the way out. I think it is, it's quite common, PayPal, Bitcoin, sort of cryptocurrency, all of that. That is going to be phasing out our current sort of financial model. And also, I think I don't know who and what. I think it'll probably be algorithms, possibly. I don't know, it wouldn't go straight into algorithms, but something will phase out our current political thing. Because I think...
Bonkers, can I interrupt for 1 sec? Because I don't know where to finish off. All I wanted to say was then that the way English language has come about is a good question. That's what I finished on, and I don't believe anyone heard it. I'm saying that's a real, really, really legitimate question from John Lobham. Okay.
Yeah, let's look at that after this.
No, that's all the story. I just didn't want to finish it on that because it actually does. It makes a lot more sense. It's the same as we're on an island in between 13 different countries. There's a method. Okay, that was it. Sorry.
I think it was a constructed language from the start. I think it just
was definitely
perfectly like
yeah, it was yeah.
Entirely. It was just like no,
definitely. But like I say, it's not a thing that can be addressed in a sentence.
How would they have gotten people to speak it if they just made it as a constructed language?
It's fashion.
People don't use other languages unless they have to. They stick to their own mother tongue.
Would have been quite productive if it weren't for Nobed.
How many people?
Origins of the English language, like, because it is obviously complicated.
Yeah, but how many people on the whole planet now speak English because they have to, and it's not their mother tongue? Like, it's easy to push a language. If everything that's put out there is in that language, you've got to learn it.
Well that's not happening.
It's the language of the future.
Yeah, you just create it, and everything you put out, you send out in that, and bam.
No, emojis are the language of the future, obviously. Just continue. The spreading of it into an international,
But what I mean there is, instead of talking about the future now, all right, from now onwards, what I'm saying now, the origin of the English language up until, let's just say, the year 2001, September 11th, for argument's sake. That's the time when it needs addressing. Where did it come from then? Now, it's pretty much apparent that, it's free and easy. Things are making things up. You can make your own words up. I made the word curve up.
They made up first responders on 9/11.
Like first responders.
They used that event to, create a word and added it to the lexicon and... You can't hear a news story because they all have blood and guts, basically. You can't hear a news story without hearing the word first responder.
And we have, we're veterans. Now I know that means war veteran. But when that got brought in, it wasn't, straight after war. It was incorporated. Someone used that. I did read this. Sorry for my ignorance. But there's lots of words that they just bring in. Just for this. Trotsky, the word racist. He invented that. He said, if you're not with us because of blah, 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 you're a racist. No, they do invent words.
Yeah, but an entire language, if people have their own native language, it would...
Is it? No, really, Phil. Come on, Shakespeare. We know Shakespeare is not real.
Okay, but somebody's got to explain this in like a really well... I mean, this is an extraordinary idea.
That's not going to happen at this time of night. What about Irish? Let's look at Irish Gaelic. Like, that language exists currently, right? Gaelic still exists. There's several forms of it. It used to be taught in schools. I don't think it is anymore. But alongside that, there's English. This language that's been put out there. So the mother tongue has hung around for however many thousand or hundred years, whatever it is.
Totally
they're still forced to learn English, aren't they? If you know what I mean. You know, they're still... That language that's been created, if we're saying it's been created, is still being put upon them people and they have to learn it.
Well, I put it to you that the language was constructed from outside the British Isles by the Maritime Law or whoever it was, and it actually formed itself in the British Isles.
So it doesn't fit in the language family, you're saying? Like, it's a completely... Like, conlangs don't tend to fit within any existing
Like, they can be categorized by, like, certain features.
Yeah, but no, but the funny thing is you see how the lifestyles of the rich and famous of the 900 AD, posse, were all intermingled with the people from, you know, like, over the borders and stuff like that. It was all kings and they're marrying. So once you see that, you actually see that they were doing the same thing then. You know, all that's happened is they incorporated a new sax system, and that was called the English language. They were still doing the same thing, you know, 600-700 years ago with language. You've got old language, then you've got old language. You know, there is stuff older than like old Norse, Dutch, and things like that. So you got all these, and I'm not going to prove it because I don't need to prove it. It's fucking obvious. But yeah, there you go. So you got old languages, and then the original where they come from. And considering you're not going to have many words for a fucking cross or a church, you know, it seems like a genius. But all you do is you quantify things, you name things. And before you know, you got language, you romanticize things by having marriages and imaginary stories and, you know, mythology around the person before you know the language is taking hold. But it's fashion. It's brilliant. It's amazing.
I'll put a picture in the chat in a second.
We do choose language, by the way.
Now, does this picture have arrows pointing to words?
God forbid.
Alright, just no personal attacks, please. My psyche can't handle it today.
You're already hurting my feelings, Mason.
Different colors, that makes no logical sense at all. It's got some words someone else wrote down.
Oh, that's a perfect expression. My years ago in a club. The red bit was me on the dance floor. Then the blue bit was me fingering a bird. The green bit was on the way to the club, just making sure I got the right height. This small yellow slither was basically taking off his spare sock in the club, just in case he had to nip to the toilet. So you always wear a spare sock if you take drugs now and again, just in case. And if you've ever seen train spotting, you'll understand where I'm coming from. And the purple one, well, basically the purple one was a walk home from the club on your own. I work hard for the money.
So guys, the pie graph I posted has Germanic languages as a quarter, with old and middle English, Old Norse and Dutch, probably meaning they overlap with those. Old English, Middle English, Old Norse, and Dutch have a common vocabulary as English because they both are Germanic languages, and that's the.
That's what I was saying last night, that a lot of the dialectic was Norse. We say Beck.
Okay, and then
it's not rocket surgery, but like I say, the question is a fucking valid one. It is a valid one. I'm putting this out there. It's a fucking good question because it's almost like a circuit board. It works well. You've got the colloquial acts, the way people act, the accents, different accents change to something about Britain, England, whatever you want to call the UK. It's just a fucking island. But there is some of the way the interaction goes on. And it is worth addressing, to be honest with you. But yeah, you shouldn't have called. Who did he call? Nobet? Did he call anyone Nobet? Come on, was Typo there? He must have called Typo or Nobet. No, never mind. Well, if I would have been there, he would have called me Nobet. So there you go. But yeah, it's a valid question, not for an hour and a half.
Yeah. It's a good question. It's just doesn't have to be presented in that confrontational way.
Yeah. What? Yeah. I've got a perfect riposte there. Right. Why is John challenging everybody across the board? Could it be that there's a few people in there who he's not sure about? Because no, they don't care about me, you know, or like you, or, you know, normal people. There's a few people who seems to be challenging. Could that be a thing?
It's worth the money for his subscribers, I think, yeah. Well, it stands to reason. Yeah. It follows that that's what it'd be.
You guys know about the Norman invasion?
Yeah.
In like, what was it, like the 1100s or something? When was that?
1066.
Wait a minute, of course you guys know this.
Yeah, that was everybody's first pin number.
So that's when the English language, well, not this English, but like old English, I guess.
No, because that was long lost down the side of the couch for, I think, 400 years, maybe even 700 years. So the Bayer Sapatry, which, you know, what's the word, depicts the Butler Hastings, he would have known if that was real. Literally, we have no idea.
I mean, Dad had loads of old books, and he had some old Chaucer books. And they were more or less in German, basically.
Yes.
He was from north of England, do you know what I mean?
Yes, because you're going to get a little bit of the bond, which was just translated into English. I remember these old art books. There was a lot of stuff knocking around in the late 80s. I'd be dead honest with you, in schools. We were looking at things which were an anachronism to what we've been taught today.
Gaia says English is so much more influenced by Latin, French, Romantic languages than Dutch and German. And, yeah, they didn't get invaded by the French bringing the new rules. So.
Oh, we were.
Oh,
the delivery system for the English language was the Bible. That's what was used.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's all subjective as well. Fucking good call, man.
Mahamako, do you see any, like, do you remember any specifics that you really want to point out?
We're forbidden to learn how to read. Anyway, and they couldn't read Latin, and most Bibles were in Latin at the time. Priests would have to speak Latin.
So this would be the translated Bible, the King James Bible.
Oh, yeah, the people who created the King James Bible and stuff like that.
Let's say for argument's sake that England was used as a breeding ground for language, and because the maritime law was based there and a lot of the monetary system was based there, it was already a base language there. So people knew what money meant, people knew, you know, land laws did, but then gradually they started interweaving this new language. So you can call it Shakespeare language, whatever you want to call it. It's not going to take long for people to learn it. I mean, think about how fast it took people to learn how to text.
Yeah.
You know, texting, boom, double thumbs, all that malarkey. It didn't take too long at all. Now, if you've got an upper class or a medium to upper class who are striving to fit in with the really, really upper class, so that includes the people who are watching such plays as, like, you know, Shakespeare and stuff like that. It's not gonna take long to incorporate this language, especially if you add things like courting and certain fashions that are involved in the day, and then you have a bit of language in, you know, that's attached to these fashions, whether it's everything from the 17th century onwards is pretty much ad hoc. None of it's real. It was all made up.
How often do you guys hear this relatively new expression, agree to disagree?
Another expression, yeah.
I hear it, and I don't like it.
Do you want to know where it came from?
What I'm thinking here is it a natural reaction? Even though we know it's assisted, you know.
I gotta jump to sit. I gotta run to walk. I gotta. It's so stupid. But
it could be because the shortest word obviously fits a lot of the time. But a word like liaison, you know, there's no relevance to it. So you can't say I'm going to meet someone. You got a liaison. So we maybe we just chose what we liked. Remember, this isn't my point of view. This is just something I'm just putting out there. Because a lot of the words do fit.
I mean, agree to disagree. That's great. That is respecting each other.
I've been sort of looking into law for the past
No,
it's always can we disagree and not fight?
People
then
throw their hands up in the air
to speak
and
English
because they can't.
It's the
end of fight with the disagreement.
And
they throw their hands in the air and say, "Agree to disagree." You know, it's,
yeah. I mean, it's fine. We can
not a foundation of points. Sorry, guys.
I would rather there be an agreement somewhere along the lines, you know.
But we will never have a 100% agreement about everything. It's impossible to switch your mind.
Let's at least find some common ground then, Gaia. How much can we agree on if we can't find all of that? Let's just find something in between. How about that?
Oh, that changes from person to person. I mean, I agree with some people on point A and with other people on point B, and that's fine. The point is, it should be fine. That is the whole point. So,
let's agree to disagree, it's fine, like peacekeeping.
I know.
It's fine to disagree, but I'm just saying it's used, you know, when a conversation has reached an end and it's like a giving up point and nothing good came out of it if you just agree to disagree.
Yeah, it's like a cow that has been milked.
Okay, of course. Like,
there's no milk coming more. There's no other milk coming from the cow, so we finished it, right? I mean, is the problem?
Yeah, my pet peeve is when people think that the conversation has ended and they think, okay, we'll agree to disagree and no one benefits. I benefit from I benefit from a lot of the stuff you guys talk about. So even if you say we're going to finish an impasse and no one cares or whatever it may be, I do benefit. So I'm going to give you all around the round of applause because you're right, there's no gratification at all, and especially because it's down to the person who at the end of the day is not it's. You know, recognition, right, it's not the best thing in the world. But you know what? It's pretty much the only thing in the world. You know, and a little bit of it now and again. And I've listened to you on many occasions, mate, and you are a very, very, very intelligent fella. And it's the same with a lot of people on here. Now, I don't have to lick your ass and say, you know, bum, bum, bum. But I'm not going to turn around and argue with someone who I know has got a good version of, a good bead on what is going on. You know, I'm not just going to question people.
I've been looking into language for the past 7 or 8 years, and basically, if you speak English, you speak like a fucking old sailor. I'm not kidding.
You speak like what?
Like a ecclesiastical. You use maritime sailor terms. You mean using sailor, like ship, you know what I mean? Time turns mixed up with.
Well, that took us on another tack.
No,
I'm just kidding. To nautical terms, maybe like that. You're taking the wind out of my sail here, Muhammad.
Yeah. Well, the Dutch language is full of that.
Exactly that, then, Matt. So I can say, Matt just mentioned the common denominator there. He talks about maritime law and how people used it in order to, you know, communicate with each other.
Yeah, but how it entered into the language, I mean, England and English, come from England, Dutch from Holland.
Is that the law that manages the money? The people that speak that language and manage the money, we've already established that.
Careful, Napoleon, we don't want to lose liquidity here.
You wish. We're liquid years ago. I'm pocketing all this, and John LeBron's banging on up there. We've got a pay-per-view fight coming up.
Got your liquid assets ready to deploy?
Yeah, no. My money's on JLB, actually. Because we think KM's injured herself.
She's sitting in the banks on the river, the banks of the river?
We're about to get on the bus. This is her ankle.
What were you saying, Muhammad Kod, about the relevance of nautical terms?
Well, how do you get born? Canal. And you get birthed.
Yeah, this is Jordan Maxwell's, right?
And I, rather than the Maxwell, long before that. Fucking dinosaurs. Jordan Maxwell. Is that who you said?
He's who I heard that birth canal and liquid acids, yeah. I think.
He does some stuff on maritime, like he does stuff on dinosaurs as well.
But if you, know, you say we have to take
a T Rex, like
Phil, have you heard this before?
Like kind of. I don't know. I mean, this gets into the whole legal shenanigans stuff. And
I always hear maritime law connected to the free man on the land kind of sovereign citizen stuff. Does it always connect there, or does it stand alone as something to look into?
Now they kind of found
basically the law of the sea was incorporated on the land.
Yeah, the free
that was a trap.
And Magna Carta is toothless because it was signed on Magna Carta Island. So it only has jurisdiction on that island.
Yep.
Oh, that's what the name means. Thank you. I didn't know what Magna Carta. Magna means big, and Carta, I think, is deal or something. It's like a big deal or something, a big agreement, right?
The charter it was called, but it's a rose, it's red herring.
Because it's just applied to the island Magna Carta, you're saying?
Yeah.
Not that Magna I care. I mean,
island off
I never signed it.
On the Thames.
Sorry, Mohammed?
Was signed on Runnymede Island on Magna Carta Island, just off Runnymede, on an island on the Thames. So it only has jurisdiction on that island. So all these freemen talking about Magna Carta this, Magna Carta that. It was a red herring anyway.
So what about, like...
And it was signed under duress. King John was at sword point. So the story goes. So it was signed under duress, and any contract signed under duress is null and void automatically.
So and obviously that sounds far-fetched in itself. You know, we're not idiots.
Yeah, I'm no free man on the land. I mean, I'm not so free as my name suggests, but I know I never signed a contract. You know, I don't know where these rules came from and this proposed authority.
Applied contracts, and you don't have to know about it.
You do have to consent to it, though, in one way or another.
You'll get some sort of joinder form and all the links to it. Might be a birth certificate.
That's what, because I was listening to Chris and John on about signatures never being used. I think it was Chris and John, which has never been used, but signatures are where the money's at because they can notarize your signature and sell it on as a negotiable instrument and make loads of money on it. And they can do that up to 1,000 times.
That is the BY colon. You've heard of that one? That's one that does work.
That does work, yeah.
Yeah, and that does
what work. What is that?
BY.
I haven't heard of that.
Fine. Conditional signature.
Put
BY in the colon and you swing the tail of the Y through the colon because they snip it off otherwise.
And then what does that do for you?
It can be sold on as a negotiable instrument.
Yeah, the generalization of it is it puts you put terms and conditions on the signature by putting BY colon.
It's authorized by a sovereign flesh and blood man, yeah.
Yeah, so they won't know what the terms are, but by the very fact that it has terms, they can't then go and use it freely. So they could contact you and say, what are your terms and conditions? And you can then say what the fuck you want. But that one
doesn't
work, and that's an actual legitimate thing. It's not major.
I mean, so would you do that on a ticket? You're saying you get pulled over, you get the red and blues, and he presents a ticket, and you sign it BY, and then what would happen?
Oh, man, I mean...
Best not to sign anything.
You can sign it with supposedly the universal... commercial code or something, UCC.
That's where it gets so messy, look, because we're going to start UCC. Throwing out, you can do that.
Unified.
I mean, it might have worked for Elizabeth Croft a long time ago, but...
Right, come on, we're getting into science fiction here, man.
The bureaucracy is a big thing, and it's slow moving, but it catches up eventually. And now we can't get away with all that UCC stuff that you used to be able to get away with.
No way. Well,
you couldn't get away with that in Korea or one of these downtrodden countries, you know, in the middle of the Congo. You're not going to get away with the sovereign man in these countries.
I just made
the court.
The crown law exists.
This stuff looks total bullshit to me, but I did look at it. It's like you sign the ticket without prejudice, with a reference to a certain code or something, and then you can just send a letter saying, "Oh, I no longer agree to pay your ticket."
Because your contract's in, so not contract. Yeah. It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, that would be stupid. That's the thing. That's where, like, you start talking casually about this sort of shit. Law's so fucking clever. You know, you start talking casually, oh, you could do this, you could do that. It takes one wrong word, bit of contact, and you're all of a sudden in the shit straight away, and you've got no way out. You've given them jurisdiction. So it's kind of...
I've got a copy of Modern Legal Usage by Brian Garner. Treat ours as about... fucking 150-200 entries.
Yeah.
It can mean that many things.
Do you guys...
I'm not fucking...
Do you guys have any personal experience with using any of these tactics and have any results that you could share?
I haven't, but...
A lot of people have just walked out of court.
I think that you or stuff you've heard about.
I've used it. I mean, yeah. It's
lots of people have not done the Freeman thing, but just the sovereign thing and refused to answer.
When I get jury summons, I've never done any kind of response to any jury summons. Like, and it says on there that they could send police or whatever, and. Nothing happens. But if I got a ticket or something, I don't know if I could just refuse.
Nah, you can never refuse. That's where, like, the sovereign thing, I kind of got to grips with it, and it has worked for me. I'm not going to completely stand here and say it's gospel, because I haven't gone too far with it. Again, one of the things, it's kind of, you go as far as you're willing to, you know, as much as you're willing to lose. And I've gone through several things, possible tickets, speeding tickets, tax bills, council tax, TV license. I've used it with all of them, and it's always worked.
What tactic? What works? Okay, I missed you guys.
Please elaborate.
It's a bit complicated, really. It's kind of... I'd have to find old things. I learned stuff that was on a long time ago. There were radio stations like have you guys ever heard of TNS and stations like that? They were on
TNS.
They used to basically go into law. It was around the same time.
Broadcast on that channel.
Huh?
It's on that channel.
Say that again, Mahatma, sorry.
It's on TNS.
You used to broadcast, you said? You were a broadcaster?
Yeah, Mahatma, yeah.
I was a broadcaster on there as well.
Yeah, that's where I recognise your name from, Mahatma, from PIR.
Yeah.
I thought I recognised your name there. I didn't mention it, I thought it might have been another one. But yeah, information I thought was really good, and I've used it, and it's worked really well, but I haven't gone as far.
It does. It's not free man on the land or sovereign citizen bullshit. It's proper.
No, it's legit. I think it's just law. And it's never pushed.
Law.
It's always I think it is. It makes sense and it works to my and it's logical. You know.
That's for me as well. Yeah.
The RBN, I think, web radio network had a. Show I'll find it in a sec, but they said that if you ask for a contract that you signed with anytime you get a type of summons or something, or like, I don't remember the exact examples, but you just have to request where you signed some agreement with the company that's requesting you to do something, and then they'll say, we don't have a contract for you to have to do that, and then you say, okay, well, then I'm not going to do that until you show me where I signed it.
Non-disclosure agreement?
No, the failure to show any reason for you to have to do anything. But, I mean, I don't really buy into... I don't know, I just... It was part of the show.
Well, that's all it is.
They have nothing that they can show you that says you have to do it or that, you know, would make any sense. It is. It's all a show.
From there,
you just have to comply or die.
That makes the difference.
Comply or die,
is great. But it's when you then turn around and start becoming part of the show that you've then accepted that the show is real. Do you know what I mean? So as soon as, say, let's go for a simple one, like a seatbelt. Yeah?
Yeah.
A seatbelt.
Compliance is slavery. If you comply, it's slavery.
He says, why aren't you wearing your seatbelt? Now, if you then turn around and you recognise a seatbelt, you're part of the act, you're part of the show. You know, it's like saying about Cinderella, look at Cinderella there, and you notice Cinderella. You know, you're part of that fantasy.
Yeah.
So as soon as you kind of recognise something in their world, you're in, and you kind of have given jurisdiction. That's where it gets a bit...
That's jurisdiction, yeah.
Thing. But it's a good mindset, and it's worth looking into.
And not only that, the English language, recognition, understanding. No, I don't submit. These are all English words. You know.
Napoleon, just 10 seconds. I am sharing Steve Hughes' comedy show you pointed out with a Colombian friend who is now in fucking Suriname, which is like Holland until 1975. And we're talking in English. Normally we speak Spanish, but okay. We're talking in English, and I will chat with him live here to get him over to the good side, let's say. And I'm spreading your knowledge you have spread to me, so thanks for that.
You don't have to talk to me. I have no knowledge, man. Don't ever spread what I say.
Well, if you have a good link, then you have already known.
All right, I'm just going to be friends. Like that. There you go. Let's just be friends.
I think this comedy thing is the whole point of all of this, because people take it so fucking serious, all this. And it's the comedy.
Oh, really God, you can laugh about most things. You know, I mean, none of us are sick and sadistic, and we all laugh about anything that's really, really...
Yeah, I mean, we cannot
you
change...
You can laugh about most things.
Yeah.
It's a sign of intelligence, not only, you know.
Yeah, it is. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
You need to laugh. You start feeling prejudice. Jesus Christ. Feel persecuted. What's that? Consensus facit legem.
Legem? Is it legem? Law?
It means consent makes law.
Okay.
That's what most of it is. Once you give me consent, the rule of society given the force of law by the consent of the governed. Governed. You can see why they introduced the word government. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're being run by a fucking bureaucracy that's far, far, far ahead of where we are. And I'm not even saying people need to reunite and get together. All I'm saying is if everybody just, you know, thought for themselves for a little bit of time, the people they interact with would probably catch on. And before you know it, their best paid jobs would be. People are enforcing laws, so you get traffic wardens on 200 grand a year. Why? Because people just refuse to pay. You know, if you can get someone to pay, Jesus Christ, you're a good traffic warden. But I don't know. And like I say, another thing there. Yeah, the streetcars, I've said again, it's not a conspiracy. Right? These things are evil. And they need tickets. Once again, streetcars are evil.
You're coming in and out.
Breaking up.
Yeah.
It's a good job, really, with Waffley.
Maybe we're being censored by the New World Order. John, where are you to imitate the shows?
The Illuminati are attacking us.
Mahatma, you have a little bit of English accent, so maybe you can do it too.
What?
Imitate Alex Jones.
Good. Master Ed Sheeran's Rise and Fall of the Roman Republic when I was like 3. I'm not kidding, folks.
Yeah. You're close, really. Yeah. I mean, we all went through that, right? Yeah, of course. For a while.
I enjoyed Alex Jones for the couple of for about 5 weeks I watched it. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, I had a couple of months, I think, and squeeze out with other people, but yeah.
Me, your dog, or your dog's school with you.
I used to really like that show. It's called In Defense of Humanity. I put a link in the live stream chat.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But, I mean, it had a few guests that made me really start to question it. One was a woman from, she was on the other guy's show. He was on another show. I mean, there's so many freaking people, but it's Caravan to Midnight, and the woman who was on there was something 9. It was about how the computers, AI, the AI computers are going to take over and everything, and she was total fear-mongering. So they had her on a whole bunch of times, and I was like, wait a minute. So you guys are, you know, pushing that agenda too. And so anyway, like, it made me kind of doubt the whole thing about whether or not that would work. And then, I mean, there's other people promoting this stuff. And so I just started to doubt that there's much to gain from studying it. I mean, but it seems to have worked for some people, supposedly. I've met somebody who said that he doesn't pay any income taxes. Pretty cool.
Yeah, but that's it's really easy to not pay taxes. I mean, they don't catch it immediately, and they may never, but I don't think when they come knocking on his door, if that ever happened, that he could say, well, I'm not going to sign, or I'm not contracted or something, and that is going to work. Like, a lot of people don't pay taxes.
Well, we are in the audio. Go in detail. We can take it offline. What I do.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that later. I had one other thing from it. They said that there are no viruses, and I've been hearing that a little bit lately as well. I was wondering if any of you guys have looked into that thoroughly to
Well, they have never seen viruses. I mean, viruses are too small to see, right?
I mean, I have no... Okay, Congress.
We just got their word for it.
The common cold. I think I've become quite skeptical of that. Whether that is just more of sort of deep down. I think the body detoxes itself. The common cold's an obvious sort of way.
Yeah, with the change of season.
Flush itself.
Change of season, the environmental, maybe it's from different pollen being released in the...
It has to be microbial. It has to be microbial because if it's pollen, you'll have to... I mean, pollen can carry other microbes.
Virus. So. Yeah, or is it, yeah, it's not in the way that they're saying it is. Like you say, there are probably factors. There's environmental factors. There's a combination of things, as well as psychological. I think there's a high level also of placebo to a cold. Not all the time, but just there could be, you know, lots of people are catching colds. Most people's bodies are generally in a state where they need to detox and cleanse the amount of toxins and shit in there. Quite easily, just, you know, through just generally being run down and plus the power of placebo, you could quite easily go into detox and cleansing sort of mode, and that's what a common cold kind of reflects.
When I was a kid, to get out of going to school, if, like, my brother or sister would get sick, I would get them to cough in my mouth. So I would get sick, and I could stay home from school. And it definitely worked. And I regretted it every time. I was like, God damn it, why'd I do that? I'd rather be at school right now. Like, I thought this was a good idea. So there's something to spreading stuff. I'm fairly certain of it.
That is real field work. That is really doing your own field work at such a young age.
That's fantastic rebuttal. I cannot, I can't come back to that. So, yeah.
It could have been placebo, though, you know. But I know I was in a pretty bad state. So if I did that to myself, then that's even more interesting.
Well, I mean, you got it, like, right into your face. They might have picked up a little bit, and then it, you know, is something they're fighting, and you're just like, boom, right to the back of the throat.
Yeah.
And then you took a big inhale, too, probably right into your lungs.
Yeah. Later, I realized, okay, I could just poke myself in the eye a bunch of times and then say I got peanut.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, by the time my mom went to work, the pain had gone away.
Or you could take a hoax.
Purse with back to back.
Well, while you were gone, the gunman came.
And,
I was raped by an alien. Find it out. There was some guy on the grassy knoll here, and he helped me.
Sorry, I cannot go to school.
But the virus is one that's like, I don't know. I agree, though, that it's hard for them to say with any confidence that it's definitely this influenza. Influenza, the word itself just means influence, or just it derives from the word.
Yeah, good point.
You're under the influence of something that's making you sick. Okay, fine, but what is it? Is it just, you know,
bacteria, maybe?
I mean, for sure. Why wouldn't it just be something like that?
I mean, people get infections, right? Like, you get a bacterial infection. Like, when you have a cold, you're blowing out green snot, and I don't know. I was always told, like, that the green is a sign of infection. Like, you're clearing out bacteria and stuff, so...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But, wait, I was thinking something a second ago. Hold on.
Yeah, sorry if I threw everything off or something.
No, that's my fault, totally.
It's not all going over. Man, guys, come on, behave yourself. Probably I should be the one who because I am here sitting outside with Columbia music on in the background, so that's my fault. And the children are still playing at this hour, 9 o'clock almost.
Yeah, I wondered that the other night. It was even later, I think, and I still heard kids. And I'm like, wait, is he on work? Because we're on the same time zone. I'm east.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, late. I mean these people are really I mean, children in the Western countries, where Australia and so, they're all so completely fenced in and so on. Here, people really, I mean, that's what I love about Colombia. People are really family, and the children are the most important thing. And if a child gets sick, it's no problem to leave work and so on. You don't have to ask for permissions and all that. That's so different.
They're obviously not sitting around playing video games or...
Of course they are, but it's much more. I know there's much more respect for the next generation. Well, it still is the same system for it. I mean, schools tell the same lies and all as everywhere else, but it's more pleasant.
I don't know really anything more about the infections that that there might be hoaxes about, but if anyone.
Yeah, well, I saw that on the Peace of Mindful, Mark Tokarski's blog. There was a post on AIDS, and that was quite interesting because I had I went to the doctor and then I asked for a test for STDs, not because I have them, but because I want children with my wife. We want to do a test beforehand, and then. She, the doctor, she was like 25, very young doctor, and she asked me, what do you know about AIDS? Or no, she asked me, what do you know about VIH? And I was like, who? VIH? HIV, you mean? I was thinking English and not Spanish. And then she said, yeah. Well, my first comment was, well, I've heard it's fake, it doesn't exist. And she started laughing. And then I repeated the mainstream story was, deficit, virus, blah, blah, blah. I mean, all the shit. And then she explained it to me what it was, according to the same mainstream. And then afterwards, I had to sign a paper that says, I know what it is, I know it's been explained to me, and that the tests of it are completely inconclusive. So you can have a false positive, so you're diagnosed with HIV without having it, or a false negative, so you're not diagnosed while you're having it, or you are diagnosed with it and you have it, or you are diagnosed not diagnosed and you don't have it. So the whole test is just complete fake. I mean, it cannot be used as a test scientifically. I signed the paper, but I didn't take the test afterwards. So, but I was completely surprised because on any other medical subject, I've seen such a stance. You know,
that's a red flag for me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really such difficulty to figure out what something especially is. So you really need to do tests that work. And like, I
think the AIDS test, isn't it just checking for antibodies or something in your blood?
They're not even
really detecting so-called HIV. They look for symptoms in. I guess that's.
And who's to say that it's not from something else at that point?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what's going on.
Like in Africa, if you look at like the African AIDS epidemic, like these people are just malnourished and have problems.
11,000 die a time.
11,999. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
The most uplifting news that I see every once in a while is how somebody's making a $1 microscope that attaches to a cell phone, and the whole, you know, Africa will have labs everywhere that are diagnosing these problems, and nobody will get sick anymore because they'll stop it right as it starts. And I don't know. I've never been able to see. You know, I want a $1 microscope, so I haven't.
Yeah, it's also that we know already, right?
No, African continent has never had a chance. It's just been raped.
Yes.
Yeah, it seems likely a eugenics agenda.
The dysgenics.
I think they're not helping forced sterilization.
Mason, if they're not helping people to succeed, then it's not eugenics. That's dysgenics. They're screwing people up and making them unhealthy. Okay. And that's another, like, you can't do something bad and call it.
Okay. I see what you mean. They're not doing it for the good.
Yeah, you in Greek means. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah.
Or raised.
I mean, if you guys.
It feels right, but I mean, pedophile means child lover, but we still say pedophile.
Right.
Yeah, it should be like sycophant or something, like child molester, right?
Fucking
or Weinstein,
monster, something like that.
Yeah, it's a kind of a NAMBLA kind of. Positive spin on it if you look at the root.
But I'm a eugenicist. I want to mate with fine women, and I love beauty and intelligence, and I like these good features in someone's genes, and I want good genes in my life. I want to have good genes, express good genes. So I'm the eugenicist.
True.
So Phil, do you have a girlfriend or a wife? Or?
I'm just saying in general, this is a...
No, yeah, but just a question.
I'll go as far as to talk about the concept.
Okay.
Yeah, between the terms, and we know what you mean, but if you were talking to someone else about it, preface it with, it's dysgenics, not eugenics.
Yeah. I mean, it would take clarifying where we're coming from.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
I think that even the idea of looking to figure out this healthcare stuff, because we want to, you know, not get our kids screwed up with disease as well. Like, that's eugenics or euphoria or something.
I think it's for a good cause.
Eucausal.
Eucharist.
Eucharist. I need to look that up.
Eucreationist.
So it's a Christian thing.
Eucharist, yeah.
Like a good savior?
Christos. It's from Christos in Greek.
Or Europe. Europa.
Gaia, is it true that Jesus means tecton, and tecton means mason in Greek, Freemason?
I don't know. Tecton?
There's the tectonic plates. I'm thinking there's some kind of rock.
Joe Atwell talk about it, and he was saying that the Bible's in Greek, and in Greek, Jesus means tecton, which means mason.
Well, because but I thought that, I mean, Christ, savior, right?
Yeah. What was that about? What? How do you say Freemason in Greek?
Greek is, oh man, such a long time since I had Greek. 5 years in Greek, man.
How would you translate free to Greek?
Craftsman. Wikipedia says tecton, Greek, Hebrew, craftsman. So yeah, it says iron worker or smith, stone worker or mason.
In Greek, free is eleftheros.
So you said they referred to Christ as tecton? That was Joe Atwill's claim?
Jesus means tecton in Greek. Say mason, Christ. It's obvious what it's obvious what the carpentry is, Jesus being a carpenter. He was a mason, really.
Litho logos.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Ah, that's where lithology, litho logos, mason. Litho is rock in Greek, I would say. Yeah, Isaiah 41.7, so the carpenter, tecton, encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying.
Ah, bullseye.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like Freemasonry was behind the Bible, for definite. And we just, the hijacking of the mystery religions, the Stonesman, because Stonemason, not a Freemason, but a Stonemason. It takes some fucking skill.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
And Ab saying he wouldn't use the word understand because it was a Freemasonic term, but really it's just a Stonemasonic term. A bridge would be understood to take, say, 2 tons, and the mason that built it would have to stand underneath his own bridge that he built, went over the top of it, and that's why it's understood to be 2 tons.
I heard it like 10 years ago. Yeah, you're right. Wow.
I see in German "understetten" or "understatten." I don't know.
Understand?
Okay. To be subordinate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if a pig says to you, do you understand, and you say yes, then I stand under your authority.
No. Verstehen is this in German. Okay.
Synonyms, then. Apprehend. Comprehend. Yeah. Grasp. Grasp, that's a good one. Know. Perceive. Pick up what someone is putting down. Realize, grok. to, and then second now, to believe. Third now, bottom man. Okay. Oh, huh. In a circus, the bottom man is the understand, I guess. But I grasp. I think grasp is a good replacement then.
That's a good word.
Yeah, but in legalese, it means stand under.
Yeah.
Stand under my authority.
The same in German.
That's why when a copper nicks you, spiel, and then he'll finish the spiel with, do you understand? If you say yes, that's it. He's got free rent because he's just gotten in subject matter jurisdiction.
What if you said, I grasp that?
That would be testimony because you'd be making a statement. And am I obliged to understand that?
This whole dictionary for people, dict.cc says for verstehen, list of meanings pretty different from what the word means. It's to make sense of something. No, that's not what verstehen means. It's just understand. It's just get the idea. Yeah, that's also given here, but.
I'm just talking about what I've used in real life, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the legal terms are from a different dictionary. It's a common set of terms, but a different dictionary.
That's why I like to make up my languages.
So do they, Gaia. They have guns.
Yeah, I don't care about their guns. I have my language. I mean, what are they going to take me?
What?
Are they going to take me? Or are they going to put me in a...
Well, I mean...
Of course not.
Yeah, I'm not going to come to that, probably. So, it's... I think practical, maybe, to understand... to use some of the stuff that other people have had success with.
Yeah, that's what life is, right? I mean, it's understanding what other people have success with, and then... change it and apply it to it and apply it.
But to make it work, you have to understand exactly what you're doing. And that takes a fair bit of study. You can't just pick it up in a few chats and that.
Yeah, but, well, in the end, we will never really understand.
You need to grasp it fully.
Yeah, I mean, we will never grasp it fully. The truth is always hidden.
I've enough to know my way around it.
I guess you don't want to then live in the building next door to the police.
I mean, what are they going to do?
I don't know, ask for a statement.
It makes no difference. If they want you, they're going to fucking get you, and that's it.
Yeah, but it's part of the fear moment. They're not going to get us, they don't want
you. Really want you, really want
no,
you.
They're
going to get
cops,
you.
Cops? Yeah, a cop. Yeah, he'll pull you over and he can find something. Whether you're just getting a ticket or he wants to take you to jail, they'll find a reason. Yeah, we're not talking fear mongering of coming and putting us in FEMA camps right now, I don't think. But yeah, the power of the police force is pretty strong. All they have to do is say is that they smell something, and then that automatically gives them the right to search, like whether they smell anything or not. It's like, how do you refute that?
So basically, the going plan here is to understand.
Understand.
What makes it?
I would say cooperate until the point you understand. Sure.
Try to not cooperate as much as I can, and then.
When you're stopped by the police,
I can. Yeah, like for sure. Like if they're asking for things that are beyond their scope of inquiry, okay. Then yes, I refuse.
Yeah. Okay.
Every time.
Like
if they're just walking up asking for ID, yeah, I'm not gonna comply with that.
No.
Not, no way.
If they ask
to search my car, I always tell them no.
I had a cop threaten to like do violence to me because I wouldn't show him my ID. I was just taking a walk in the middle of the night in my own neighborhood. I mean, it's not like a gated neighborhood, so I was in a public sidewalk, but I think there was a carjacking the night before, and there weren't ever cops in the middle of the night. I mean, I'd been out for walks in the middle of the night, but this cop stops me and says, like, you know, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, how are you asking me this? I didn't say anything, like, much, but it's like they really intended to make an arrest right there.
Never forget. Yeah, UK
and they'll assert their rights or authorities that they don't actually have. Like I've had them come to question me about a break-in that happened in the building where I work, and that my grandmother owns. So like I don't need to break into the place, but of course they come and talk to me, and the guy's like, I need you to come down to the station. Like, he's all being confrontational. First thing he says to me, like, are you Kyle? You need to come down to the station. He's like, no, sir, I don't. Like, if you guys
haven't done anything wrong,
to me, I'm here right now. You're exactly, at my job in my parking lot. Say it. Like, I don't need to comply with what you're demanding. Like, he said it as if that's, he said, you need to. Like, no, I don't.
Yeah. Really understand the law. They know enough of it to get by trying to doing stuff, but you can always refuse.
I think in that aspect, the U.S. is a bit worse than other countries.
What's Holland like?
My experience with the Dutch police is limited, luckily, but I remember one time I was living in Gouda, the city where all the cheese is from, you know, Gouda cheese. I was just walking home from the train station, and then I saw some police guys arresting homeless people who were drinking beer in a park and doing nothing wrong. So I said, you're really strong and really defending the law, something like that, I said. And then, hey, criticizing me, you want to fine? I like it. And then I walked on because I didn't want any problem. I just want to make that comment. But, I mean, the Dutch police is crazy. Next. I mean, they're not like what you say about, you need to come to the station. No, not like that.
Guy imitating Mason, imitating a person. Just kidding.
Yeah, no, They tend to be very cold and, like, disrespectful, I think. Like, almost every time I get pulled over, they ask to search my car, especially maybe, like, the first, like, 10 years I was driving. It happened a lot. They would always search. I always refused. It never was a real issue. And, But they, that was the thing. Like, they would always, like, push that I needed to be searched for some reason. I didn't have any kind of priors, like, no reason to suspect anything other than the way I look or whatever, the way my car looks.
And also, the tattoo of that swastika on your forehead, that is not real.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, they would make these, like, insinuations, like there's got to be something going on. Like, why would you say that? You know, I'm just driving. Why do I have to be insulted right now? Like,
yeah, they're forgetting they're just humans like us, right? I mean, they're just, they really believe, they're so indoctrinated that they believe. Yeah.
Have you checked into that, Mason, why you don't have...
Oh, I've asked
stuff on you. Do you check back into that?
Check back and
then you checked your sources, of course.
Oh, on my own record.
Yeah, you check. You're making the claim, so I'm just making sure I.
Oh well, there's been some fluctuation in that since then. So there's at least a smudge or two on the record now. But
no, it's not. That's not what I was. That's not what I meant. But let me try to think how I can say this a little better to imply what I mean.
I mean, do you know why they specifically stop you and why they go so far?
Oh, I mean, they weren't wrong in their suspicion sometimes, or maybe almost all the time. But if I, it would have taken me complying, and then, yeah, things would have gone bad. But
which suspicion? I mean, are you transporting drugs? What are you doing?
We're just talking weed here.
Okay, yeah, okay, fine. Weed, yeah, okay, no. That's not just for
personal. You checked your sources, the dealer. You checked his sources and the hit sources.
I checked the product, brother.
Okay, I'm down with that.
But it's for your own consumption. It's not like you're selling kilos.
Yeah, of course. I'm not riding on 20s.
No.
And like with a big wad of cash. No.
I once crossed, and it was the exciting moment. I was living in Germany with a German car, a German license plate, and then I crossed the border, which is completely open. It's Schengen in Europe, between Holland and Germany, but with 50 ecstasy pills in my car, and that was a pretty exciting experience, I must say.
Yeah, I hear that it's like a life sentence or something for just having a couple.
Yeah, well, or at least 10 times. Something like that, yeah. And it was for personal, not for me personally. I mean, 50 ecstasy pills in one go. But I was organizing underground illegal party in an ex World War II bunker in Germany. I mean, cool. Yeah. It was really a cool party, man.
That's like that LSD silo. You ever heard of that?
Yeah. Similar to that. In Germany, you have quite some parties in like old factories and bunkers. But this was our own. It was our own party. I organized it with my ex girlfriend and with my German friend. He lived close to there, so we opened a bunker with some illegal tools. And then we installed the sound equipment the night before, and lasers and lights and everything. And then next day we held a party. But yeah, for the people, I said, yeah, don't bring drugs if you're coming to Germany, so don't do drugs for you. It was really, really cool.
Great gigs in Germany.
So they're not going to ask questions. I'm sorry, Mahatma. They're not going to be nicer when they're asking their questions. They're going to just be as mean or as tricky as possible, so it's
yeah, they use all kinds of psychology and tactics in the way they frame their questions, like in the way they intimidate, for sure. Like they'll step it up.
Even the way they pace their speech, and how to pace their speech and
yeah,
do
when you see them that. Fold their glasses up and put them in their pocket, that's when you know shit's about to go down.
Yeah.
It's all crisis actors, but then bad.
Charlottesville thing. The car crawled into them and they didn't hear the car coming. And then they all did like fucking cartwheels over the top of the car. So they were stuntmen or actors or something.
I don't know. I saw some videos that made it look like maybe the car was like a plant. I don't know if the people were real. I don't know. It's hard to say. It was probably it could have been staged though.
Which event?
That Antifa versus
the pawn shop.
Yeah, it was 12th of August.
Charlotte's.
Yeah, it was completely staged. Really, this speech show well against this is like a bug guy gave to this what's her name? I don't know, but this was a fake. I mean, it was just not hitting her.
Have you guys studied how to interact with police? I had like a video long, long time ago. How to talk? I don't know. I don't remember what it was, but
there's a guy who makes. He's got like a whole series of them, right? Like how not to get searched, how to deal with cops. I don't know. I've seen a few, but I don't know. It's something I think you got to develop on your own. Like just learn how to. I don't know, hold your ground, and as long as you know, have an idea what they legally can do and what you can do, I don't know. But I guess the videos are probably a good way for people to get an idea.
Remember that you're never going to give a cop a fucking lecture in law on the side of the road. He's just going to smash your head in or shoot you.
Yeah. I try to keep it to a minimum, the discussion.
Provide as least testimony as possible.
What you can do is just ask him, hey, where is the village? They will like it again.
You've got a claim against me. Because that brings it back into common law. A claim against you that you've injured or robbed them.
Yeah, that's the thing. They've got to at least establish why you're being your travels are being molested.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how weak it is. They need something just yet.
Do you guys want to switch over to the room, one of the private rooms, and that's what you were saying, guys, so
I could do.
My name's Tom Belper, and you're listening to Thickologist.com, you wanker.